Let's pray together. Oh, Father, you are so good. Lord, you have stirred souls. You have stirred the waters this morning. And now we come to your word. Stir our souls, Lord. Continue your work by your Spirit this morning. Lord, we have no claim on these words without your Spirit. So lead us this morning. Lord, lead us. And transform us by the power of your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, lots of things happened. And one thing that happened was the Republican National Convention. And the President of the United States made a speech at the White House. And calling upon, accepting his nomination and calling on voters to give him another term. As the speech ended and the convention ended, people began to leave, and supporters of the president walked the streets, heading up two blocks to their hotels. And if you've seen the news, you've seen that there was some harassment going on in the streets. Once the supporters of the president left, there were people following others and screaming in their faces and profanities and profane symbols and such. And I happened to see one of those, and I want to tell you my thoughts. There was a young lady in her 20s dressed in all black, black tight clothes, a slender lady, very slender lady, all black clothes, had a very tight ski mask on. All you could see were her eyes, her mouth was covered, and then complete black. And there was a couple leaving, and they were walking by themselves down the street, and there weren't many people around, but there was this young lady screaming an inch from their face, pointing, poking, and circling and encircling this couple. And as I watched that, I thought, there's something not right going on here. And as I continued to watch them, the couple walk down the street, it was almost as if she was attempting to be a presence around them, screaming vulgarities and anger and rage coming forth from this young lady. And as I sat back, I couldn't go to sleep. Friday night, I could not go to sleep because I thought, this is scary. This is something, there's something deeply troubling about this. And this is not political, but this is spiritual. And I saw something that night that I thought, this is scary. And as I read the scripture, and you read the scripture, you read things like, the prince of the power of the air. And as I was thinking about that passage of scripture last night and just thinking through the prince of the power of the air, talking about Satan himself, blinding people to the truth. Again, not on political views, but on the way in which this event turned out of the vile anger and wrath and venom being poured out and surrounding and poking in the darkness and the cloak and covered up, I couldn't help but think, there's something spiritual going on inside this woman. And everything that we as Christians embrace, self-control, joy, love, peace, patience, the fruit of the Spirit rising up in a Christian. It was almost as if the antithesis of this was surrounding this couple vilely, pandering this woman and man. Last week we opened up talking of the Spirit of Antichrist, and that is that which is against Christ, Antichristos, against Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning, I would invite you to open up to the book of 1 John chapter 2, which Jason read for us earlier, beginning in verse 17. But as we do that, I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians, as we've read every week of the year. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And those are holds or powerful grips upon certain things. We destroy arguments we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. To obey Christ. We as Christians are in a spiritual world with a spiritual battle happening, and a spiritual, daily spiritual struggle that is going on around us and even in us. What do we do, Christian? How do we respond to this? Do not think you are immune just because there's no one dressed in black circling you as you walk down the street. Do not think you are immune to the spiritual battle that is going on around you. First John chapter 2, verse 17 says this, "And the world is passing away, along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." The desires that we talked about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those desires and those things that we are craving, they're all going away, and all those pursuits, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are all going to fall by the wayside. But hear me out. The Word of God tells us that whoever does what? The will of God abides forever. This world and the power of this world and the power of the prince of the power of the air and the demonic forces that are raging, not only in our country, but around the world. Those powers will one day be sent by the Father into the pit of hell for judgment. Amen. And will forever be gone. And we sang this morning, Belinda, that the Lord will be our light, and we look forward to the day when there is no evil and no disease and sickness and death, and we look forward to the day when Jesus Christ has not given authority over the world for evil and allowed evil, but when all is good and we rejoice and there are no more tears and there's no more pain and Jesus reigns like he did in the garden. Praise God. That's coming. Look at verse 15. You may not have it up here, Wayne. Oh, you do. You're ahead of the game. Thank you. Look at verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world." Let me remind you of what we've talked about the last couple weeks. Do not love the world. Now, there's a difference between being in the world and loving the world. And this is where Christians have to figure out what is that difference. Because we're all in the world, right? We have a relationship in some way to the world, but what is a healthy relationship? I have a relationship with Miss Belinda. But I have a very different relationship with Miss Belinda than I do my wife. There's a different relationship, and they're both healthy. What is our relationship to the world? It is not a love. I don't love any other woman like I love my wife. I don't love any other thing like I love God. Jesus said it this way, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve. You can't have ultimate allegiance to God and to money. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. Anybody struggle with that sometimes? We are in the world. And as we relate to those that are in the world, if you look very closely, you will find all over and around you, people are seeking your allegiance. People want your allegiance for their cause. And people do things every day. We saw this week many sports players say, I have a cause that's important to me. We're doing this in order to get people aligned with our cause. We have news outlets that say, this is our cause. Come align with our cause. You have companies and corporations pushing agendas. Come line up with our cause. You have Jesus Christ and His church proclaiming the gospel and saying, come into the kingdom and be a part of the kingdom of God. Not all of those can be true. And this is what Jesus was saying in verse 15 through 17. You can only love one kingdom. It's either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the world and the prince of the power of the air. And then we get to verse 18. Children, it is what? It's what? It's the last hour. And so my question for you is, last hour of what? It's the last hour of what? And we're going to get to that. But I want you to make a little quick little mental note of that. Last hour. Last hour of what? And you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. So now what, church? Tell me again. So now what? Many Antichrists have come. So now many Antichrists have come. And last week we looked at, is the Antichrist a person? Like, well, here in the media, well, not according to how John sees it. John says many have come, and it is more than just a person. It's not embodied in one person. It is a spirit of Antichrist. And we looked at the word pneuma from last week, like pneumonia, which attacks our lungs, which we breathe. And the Spirit of God is also the same word for breath. So you can remember that. Pneuma is the Spirit of God. And we looked at 1 John 4, 2 through 3. Let me read this for you again. By this you know the Spirit of God. So he's going to contrast two spirits. Y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? He's going to contrast two spirits here. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses what? Help me out, church. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So you have two spirits, the Spirit of God and the spirit of what? Antichrist. You got it? This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is already in the world. The spirit was around in John's day. As the Holy Spirit of God indwells His people and bears the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, as the Spirit of God dwells and bears that fruit, so does the unholy spirit, or the spirit of Antichrist. The unholy spirit dwells in the darkness and seeks to bear his own fruit of rage, of hatred, of unrest, a lack of self-control. And so what John is telling you here is the Spirit of God is the one who confesses Jesus and who bears fruit of Jesus. And the spirit of this world, you know, because all you do is take that list and in Galatians 5. Chaz, I know you taught that a whole summer, the fruit of the Spirit. Take that list and invert them. And there you go, the spirit of Antichrist. And so look around. What do you see? So Haley, as a believer in Jesus Christ, these spirits are going to be trying to influence you. The spirit of Antichrist will be trying to influence you. But you now have the Spirit of God in you. And you are bearing fruit to counter all the works of the world that are coming against you and your church. Secondly, Secondly, not only is the spirit, the Antichrist, a spirit, a pneuma, a power, a real, alive spirit running through this world. Secondly, he denies who Jesus is. And we looked at this one last week as well. Y'all, I know I'm repeating myself, but I feel like this is important. The Spirit of God not only is a spirit active and alive in the world, the Spirit of Antichrist denies Jesus. And let me read this to you again. I write to you, 1 John 2:21. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. So church, you do know the truth. And because no lie is in the truth. Who is that liar? But he who denies that Jesus is what? That Jesus is the Christ. There we go. It's 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. There you go. Jesus is the position, the one who is everything is about, everything centers around it. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. And let me say it like this. Whether you believe it or not, Jesus is the Son of God. What my opinion doesn't change any fact. And y'all can say, well, that's your opinion. It is my opinion, but that also, I am basing my decision on the truth of God's word that has been tested and tried for thousands of years. And some might say, well, there are other books that have been around and there are other religions. There are. But the evidence that the Bible brings to us in proclaiming Jesus Christ, no other religion has someone who comes, who dies, and stays dead for 3 days and gets up and rises. No religion does that except Christianity. And no religion has 500 eyewitnesses who've seen him after he's raised from the dead. No other religion does that. Christianity hinges on the resurrection. And therefore, I believe it. And if someone you know who has died gets up and rises and walks away 3 days later, it's going to open my eyes to something. If you think back to the ark, Genesis chapter 6, 7. Noah gets on the ark, and I believe Noah would say it like this. Y'all, this ship is sailing whether you're on it or not. And I want to say that in light of Jesus being our ark and our Savior. The ship of Jesus is sailing whether you're on it or not. And my hope and prayer is that you are moved to get your ticket, your free ticket, and get on the ship, because the ship of Jesus is sailing, whether you believe it or not. And that ticket was Jesus' death on the cross, and his burial and his resurrection, which you celebrated today. Your ticket to salvation is Jesus' death. Will you take that ticket and board the ship? My hope is that you will, because Jesus saves. I didn't hear anybody respond to that, y'all. Jesus saves. Praise Amen. The Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me do one other thing before we move on to our third point. I watched some of the president's, well, I watched the president's speech on Friday night. Our president alluded to God several times during his speech. Several other speakers alluded to God, but I want to share with you clearly from what the scripture says and affirm to you something. It's very important. The vague God word is not enough for us to determine Christianity. Amen. And this is something we as a church, we just need to understand. God is it's good that we can say, God bless America. I'm for that, yes. May God bless America. And I like to say it, Lord, may God bless America, not demanding him to, but asking him, oh God, please bless America. But when we talk about God, we are talking God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we don't denote that or draw any lines, we can be just like a Hindu or a Muslim or a New Age believer that says, oh yes, God is in everything. So I just want to encourage you Christians, when you speak of God, speak of him specifically as you can. And I noticed I had a guy in our neighborhood. My wife met him and talked to him for a while. And then I was outside Friday night with my cousin who was over. And he came, drove by, or rode his bike by again. And we started talking. And he's a scientist, and a chemist, and stuff like that. And we were talking about science. And I made some propositions about the Lord to him. And said, you know, this science is what our family uses to see the evidence of God's creation. And that God is a creator. And we talked a little bit about God. And I, after that conversation, I felt convicted a bit. I said, I talked about God, but he could have gone down to the Muslim house and they could have talked about God. And I said, I need to do better. I really need to do better than just talking about God. And so I'm working through this with you, church. When I talk about God, next time that man comes, Jesus' name is coming up. I'm going to talk about Jesus specifically. I might even ask him, hey, you believe that Jesus really rose from the dead? You're a scientist. What do you think about that? And we're going to talk about Jesus next time. So, church, that's just me working through it too, along with you. And finally, so not only Antichrist is a spirit, the Antichrist denies who Jesus is, but thirdly, 2 John 1 verse 7, the Antichrist is anti-truth. The Antichrist is anti-truth. All three of these points are taken directly from what the scriptures say. Not my words, words of the Word of God. 2 John 1:7. For many what? Help me out. For many what?
Deceivers.
For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such one is a what?
Deceiver.
And the Antichrist. You know, some people will go with any means. They will employ any means in order to get you to do something. Now, I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but sometimes people will lie to you in order to get you to change your mind. And so I stand right here in this pulpit and Facebook Live. Church family here, hear the words right now, coming out of my mouth. Do not believe me. I have nothing for you if it's new. Believe the word of God. And so all I'm trying to do is say this is the word. And I'm trying to say this is what it's saying. So hear what it's saying. And if I'm wrong, please do not believe me. But go back to the Word of God and you study what we're talking about every Sunday morning. Because many deceivers in pulpits come and try to deceive people. It happens every week, y'all. So again, this is not me. This is the Word of God. Please go and put all of the Scripture together and say, what is it saying? Let me say what I've put together. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm right, but here's what I've put together, and you go test it. The Antichrist is a spirit that is spreading lies. And you don't have to look very far to see that power, if you find power somewhere in our world today, you've probably found a liar. And I don't mean to be pessimistic, but if you've got somebody in power somewhere, they've probably deceived somebody to get it. And that's not always the case. I've just found that that's a lot of times that's the case. And I'm not saying that's always true, but people are willing to deceive to get power. It's so some people are so power hungry. And you can look at sports and corporations. You can look at politics. You can look in civic organizations, wherever you look. Even within families and churches, like it's there oftentimes. And so we have to be keen. And we have to say, okay, the spirit of Antichrist is willing to deceive to accomplish its goal. Let me give you an example. Luke chapter 20, verse 20. Here's a good example. So they watched Jesus. These religious leaders said, we want to keep our power in the community and in the early church. So what are we going to do? Why don't we watch Jesus? And why don't we send spies? Oh, we don't have it. Luke 20:20. I'll read it to you. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere. Did you hear that? There it is. Who pretended to be sincere that they might catch Jesus in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authorities and jurisdiction of the governor. You see what the leaders are doing? Spies. Pretending to be sincere. And see, it's within the church. The spirit of Antichrist. What did these people ultimately do? Let me ask you. What did these people ultimately do? They were so Antichrist that they killed him. The spirit of Antichrist is about lies. 1 John 2:26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to what? Deceive you. Truth in 2020 is our theme this year. Have y'all enjoyed it? Has it been fitting? I think it's been very fitting for our year. It has been a year of, oh, I've never seen anything like this. I don't claim to know or have all the truth for you. I certainly don't claim that. But I do claim to encourage you, y'all, seek the truth. Don't just believe everything we hear. This is what John was saying. I write these things because there are those trying to deceive you. It's nothing new. Every New Testament epistle writer warns of false teachers. Can you name them? Paul. Jude. John. Peter. All of them. All of the epistle writers warn of false teachers. Why? Spirit of Antichrist. Antichristos, he's alive and well and trying to keep people away from Jesus Christ the Lord. Ephesians 5:6 says this, let no one deceive you with empty words. Deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Deception is out there. I can tell you a few things just this week that I've seen. Should schools reopen? Some say yes, some say no. Is Jesus the only way to salvation? Some say, he might have acquired it, but you can earn it or get it this other way. Do people die without the gospel, without hearing the gospel? Do they spend eternity in hell? We looked Wednesday night. Is it ever right to do the wrong thing? That was our question Wednesday night live. Is it ever right to do the wrong thing? And we looked at that according to the scripture. There are decisions and and ideas flowing out there all the time. Church, we have to devote ourselves to thinking. Think, church, think. All right. Next week, we're going to talk about that last hour. So here's my question for you. John said it's the last hour. The last hour of what is my question for you. As you study this week, last hour of what? Last hour of what? As you reflect upon what we've talked about this week, the spirit of Antichrist. One, it is a spirit. It is powerful. It is alive, and it is moving around in our culture today. The spirit of Antichrist denies who Jesus is. Oh, Jesus was a good teacher. No, Jesus was Messiah, and he is our Savior. We must be firm and strong in the nature of Jesus. And finally, the spirit of Antichrist seeks to deceive in order to draw people away from the kingdom. So let me close with this one question for you. Why does the spirit of Antichrist work so hard to turn people away from Jesus? Why? Y'all get it? It's a whole lot of effort that the spirit of Antichrist is doing in our world and has been doing for thousands of years to draw people away from Jesus. Why is the spirit of Antichrist working so hard? I'll let y'all consider that one. I'll let y'all consider that question. I'm not going to give you my answer. Next week, I'll give you my answer. Think about that one. Why is he working? Why is it working so hard to keep people from something that's so good in Jesus Christ our Lord? Why? Why? It's a powerful question, y'all. Because he is working, and Jesus is so good. Why would someone not want good to happen to others? And I'll turn that for application for y'all, and we'll close in prayer. If Jesus is so good to you, is he worth your effort in the opposite direction? Is he worth your effort to proclaim, to minister that gospel, to share the love and the power of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation? If he's so good, are you willing to give your life for it? It's a fair question. The spirit of Antichrist has given its thousands of years for something. Are we willing to give our 70 for something else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, you are good, and your Son saves us from sin. Lord, if there are those among us this morning who are not in the kingdom of God, who have not called upon Jesus for salvation and repented of their sin, oh Lord, I pray that you transform souls and draw people unto yourself this morning. Oh God, we love you and we trust you. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.